Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes, I was going to sing the song, but I guess that's Damien's role. Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Veronica here, just hanging out with the sage again, and this lovely gentleman here next to my side. Who are you?
What's up, Mother? Alex.
Hey, how's life?
Life's good, man. Life's good.
Really? No complaints at all?
No complaints.
We're completely enjoying this sage incense. For all of you that continue to listen to us, you need to check this incense out. It's really soothing.
Sage.
It is a sage. And doesn't sage mean like wisdom? Isn't that what that means?
Yeah, I thought it was just a plant. I could be wrong. Sage sounds like something wise, though.
Yeah, I think Wayne Dyer named his daughter Sage, and I think that's where I heard that from. But we got it from San Francisco. We were so blessed to be able to go visit my beautiful sisters over the long weekend because it's President's Day. So we were able to visit Chinatown right before the New Year, the Chinese New Year. And everybody was like all like, Happy New Year. We're like, what the hell is going on here?
So now then, I know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's the year.
Of course.
It's the year of the goat. So I was all excited because I'm a Capricorn. So I'm like, yeah, it's my year. But then I forget that I'm not a Capricorn. In the Chinese New Year, I'm an actual rooster,
yeah. And
so it doesn't really apply to me. I thought, this is my year, but I'm still going to say that this is my year, regardless of me being a Capricorn or not. What do you think?
You can make it your year if you wanted to.
It's exactly, that is a perfect segue as to what we're going to be talking about today, because in reality, we really can make anything that we want based on our beliefs, and that's what the cool thing that I've been getting involved with here, especially this week, which I wanted to talk to everyone about, because I think I've heard this before, but the student wasn't ready. The teacher had been telling me this, but me as a student, it just, the way it shifted in my mind was like a miracle, you know, because all of a sudden I understood a little something a little bit deeper. And what I'm talking about is that I stumbled upon no documentaries this week. I didn't have time for documentaries because we were back and forth, but you know, I listened to a lot of audio, and I stumbled upon Greg Braden and Deepak Chopra, two of my favorites. You and I saw Greg Braden in person. I took you when you were, like, in 7th or 8th grade.
I don't know. It was a while back, so what the heck, man?
Yeah, the Celebrate Your Life conferences every year. They put on two conferences, one in Phoenix and one in Chicago, that all of you need to check out if you're really wanting to stretch your mind and go down the rabbit hole, because there's a bunch of teachers in these conferences that are just incredibly filled with paradigm shifts. That when I was looking for my teachers at the time that I was looking, it was something that just fit the puzzle pieces right. Like, I was just like, why haven't I been exposed to this before? But I guess only the seeker is one that finds. And if you're not seeking and you're happy with what is already, that's okay too, you know. But I was seeking something different, and I knew there was something else out there. And now I'm at the point where I know I don't know it all, and who knows what I'll find out tomorrow. But Greg Braden actually was part of, Deepak Chopra does these. He has a Chopra Center, and I'm a big fan, and, you know, I'm practically stalking him. But I just love his work, and he has a program called The Seduction of the Spirit, which I'm going to be part of in June. I'm so excited, and I'm going to see about taking you, Alexander. Would you like to go?
I would love to go. I'm not, like, 100% on all of Deepak's things, because, like, a little bit could be, like, pretty woo-woo, you know? Pretty.
What is woo-woo to you? I want you to define woo-woo.
I guess, no, it's interesting, because I think some of it could be, like, not very backed up by science, but then again, like, if you could create whatever your belief system is, so I don't know.
And I disagree with you, because I think that is his whole mission in life. It's bridging the gap between science and spirituality so that we can prove that God really does exist, God, higher universe, higher self, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to use any words, because the problem is when you start using words, people start putting an identification with it, and that's what sucks, because it's different for everyone. But what he's doing is he's bridging the gap between the two, because I love what he says, that what science has not been able to do, and what they're still doing incorrectly, is that they always separate the observer from the observee. So whoever is perceiving from the optics that are being perceived. And so this whole documentary with him and Greg Braden, they get in really deep into quantum physics, which is insanity to me. So again, I haven't even scratched the surface of that. I'm just like, whoa. But it makes sense. And also they talk about how to bridge the gap between the relationship of the physical and the spiritual side. And I was blown away by this particular audio because Greg Braden was invited to come be part of the Section of Spirit, which that's the one I'm going to be part of in June, where they actually help you. It's, they teach you how to meditate. You even get a mantra. But after I finished talking about what we're going to be talking about today, I can easily tell you why each and every one of us can accomplish all of these things within your own home, within your own self. So Greg Braden starts, he's a guest at this conference, and he starts talking about his recent book, which is called The Isaiah Effect. It's decoding the lost science of prayer and prophecy. And people get really attached to that word prophecy, and they think Nostradamus, here's what's going to happen in the future and all that. But really what prophecy means, he explains, is that it's just a deliverance of the truth, or a kind of like a divulgence, kind of like a showing you.
Is prophecy the same, similar to destiny?
Not at all. It's just literally just it in the word. It's a Greek word that means that it's just showing you. That's it. It doesn't necessarily come, I think people associate it with like psychic abilities and stuff like that. And the word needs to be more, that's what I'm telling you, the words can really play a lot of trick on you. Because when you hear the word prayer, everybody has a concept of what that is. But the way it was explained here, it was really cool because he talks about lost scrolls. And like, these are in 1946.
The Dead Sea Scrolls?
You've heard of those?
Yeah.
Oh, so what have you heard about the Dead Sea Scrolls? And before we start that, the reason that he chooses the Isaiah effect and he chooses to talk about Christianity is because Westerners, which is us in America, our teachings are primarily based in the Christian faith. Most of us here in the U.S., although I believe we're turning into a beautiful melting pot now of different cultures, and we're getting more of the Eastern teachings, especially of spirituality and religion here in America, which is awesome to me because now we're exposed to it through internet and all of that. But he decided to choose these particular scrolls because he's been studying them, but they apply to all of the spiritual practices that have ever been invented, which I'll get into a little bit, as well as not only that, but the religions of the world. So the way I understood it was like, okay, guys, we've been handed down these belief systems, these theologies, these things that how we're supposed to function as human beings through whatever was left during the Christ time. But unfortunately, these scrolls were actually interpreted by only 12 men, all men, by the way, which completely left out the Mary story. Completely, there's a whole gospel on Mary that they completely left out. And they basically said, hey, you know, this is what it means. And let me create this Bible or these teachings for people, the average person, to understand. But there's so much underground, like, stuff that has not even been released to the human being on how to work the mind and how to work your spirit and who you truly are, that Greg Braden is saying we have barely scratched the surface as to what the power that we truly embrace in each and every one of us. So I want to know from your side, what have you heard of the Dead Scrolls? Or go ahead and say whatever you want to say.
I don't think all of the interpreters were trying to look for the average thing, because there's also some pretty far out people in there. There's this Gnostic, I forgot his name.
You've heard of this?
Yeah, yeah. And one of the interpretations of this guy is, he wrote this book called The Mushroom and the Cross.
Mm.
Or something around that. And he believed that Jesus Christ was a magical mushroom. And it's just his interpretation. So I don't think everything was going for like the norm or trying to figure out anything average, because people, he was a Gnostic man. And
Gnostic? What does that mean? I wasn't asked that. Is it more like a pretty neutral?
This isn't me bad butchering of, I believe it's like just them. Nah, if I talk, it'd just be out of my
What is your belief out of it?
It's just that God is, they believe that God is this demiurge and that he wasn't truly, he was truly God. He wasn't really a true God because he was very egotistic and he was like, he believed that.
Like judging.
He was very judging, egotistic, patriarchal God that just looked down on everyone. If anyone looked at any other gods, then they're damned and they're wrong.
That's
and,
what we've been taught.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the Gnostic beliefs. I'm not sure.
We can research that later.
Yeah, we can.
I don't want to know.
So, yeah, that not everything was average. And I'm sure it would be a lot helpful if we had some females interpreted and everything else to see.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they believe. What I'm saying is that what they chose to put out to the to the civilizations, because I think people don't take a moment to think that why am I the way I am? And I don't know. I always ask myself, why do I believe what I believe? You know, for centuries we were told that the world was not even, that it was not round, that you would fall over. Remember what Columbus used to say?
Flat world, yeah.
A flat world, and that if you kept going on the sea, I mean, these people were courageous enough to get on freaking boats and say, well, we may fall over and die, but we're going to go figure this out, right? And we all believe that. That's what I'm trying to say. We were all given a set of beliefs based on our environment, how we were raised, our parents, their upbringing, their culture, et cetera, right? That's how culture is really created. But the most important thing is that, you know, are all these beliefs even accurate or not, you know?
I believe every belief could be accurate. I mean, just depends on your reality. I've been interested in this thing called chaos magic, like you said earlier, just like the words and the labeling, just like,
it's
necessary.
Horrible.
Just like, ooh, you hear something about chaos and magic. What are you talking about, you lunatic?
I agree.
But
because when you told me magic, I was like,
The overall basis is pretty much overall basis. I don't know that much about it. I just like been peeking my feet in the water, you know.
Yeah.
But the overall basis of it, what I think is, and Wikipedia is
Wikipedia
is having belief as a tool, you know, just throughout what you believe. That's the best way to do it. Just not looking into it as, I don't know, like set in stone as a fabric. I mean, just like, but you can control your reality. You can. It's a tool for your life, you know.
Yeah, but the interesting part is that, because I think Jesus was the one that said, you know, we shouldn't idolize, not even him. You know, don't idolize me. And the thing is that we do get caught up, you know, with our favorites like me, Deepak Chopra, and all that.
Those attachments.
And those attachments to all that. But, you know, when you're in the human form and you have an ego, like the only person that I know that does not have an ego is probably Eckhart Tolle. And he really does look at peace and at calm. And you can tell him by the way he's living his life now. He got super famous. He could be super famous, you know, even more. But he doesn't really take advantage of that stuff. You know what I mean? So. I mean, it doesn't mean there's stuff that he says that doesn't resonate. Actually, no, not Eckhart Tolle. But there are things that other people say that I really love them. And then all of a sudden, I'm just like, it doesn't fully resonate, you know? And that's where it's important to be able to stay true to who you are and to figure out your own belief system. What's interesting here, though, is that many of these scrolls, you know, we have not studied them. They're so guarded. Like, one of them is in, like, this machine, I guess. I don't even which one it was. Oh, the Isaiah one that he was talking about. But if there was a nuclear war, you know what would happen? It would sink down to the floor, covered up in, like, these stone and metal places.
Whoa.
In case there was a nuclear war, because they wanted to preserve it. Because Isaiah was the only full gospel scroll that was actually found. The rest of them were coming in little pieces.
When they like burn, it's like ripped up and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of them were written on copper and they were sketched in, and they have to create new technology to actually even read them. It's crazy, dude. So the thing is that what he's saying is that we barely even scratch the surface as to what we are as human beings. That's the thing. Like, we are living and at such an unconscious level that it's scary, because it's a replication, it's a reality as to what we're creating on this earth. So So what he's saying is that because the leaf is so strong, you know, then whatever is happening inside of you is really what's happening inside the world. So when all of us see war out there, we see violence, we see people killing each other, it's because it's a reflection of what's happening inside of us. And the only, and if you think that you can't help this humanity and world, guess what? You can, because it starts with each and every one of us. What did Gandhi say? Be the change. You know, be the change,
change
you want to see in the world. Okay, if you are the change, in, like we already said this, you know, in your household, if you take control of your emotions and feelings, which is what this whole talk is about, it's not, you know, prayer. I understood prayer completely different. When I was a little girl, I was growing up Catholic, and I understood that prayer was like get on your knees and ask God to heal your aunt. You know, my aunt was very sick of cancer, and she was like a second mother to me. So pray and say, heal her, God, heal her, God, heal her, God. If you're going through any type of lack, what do? You know, Lord, please give me that perfect relationship. Lord, please give me abundance. Lord, well, what's happening, and Neil Donald Walsh said this in his books with Conversations with God, is that the universe always tells you yes. God always tells you yes. So if you sit down and you start praying and you say, God, please give me money. God, please give me the perfect girlfriend or boyfriend. God, please give me the perfect kids. And what you're telling the universe is that you don't have it, that you don't have it. So the universe, there's no way that you can deliver.
So there's a difference between asking for an individual.
Completely, because when you're asking for it, it means that you don't have it. So there's no way it can be delivered to you. And I can look at my life and thank God, like I've only struggled with one thing in my life because I've been through such a roller coaster of a life. I started very young as being a young mother, young entrepreneur with your daddy, you know, and all of that. Learning really lessons that people learn when they're 50 or 40. I learned them when I was 20, you know. And
you don't need to compare.
No, it's not about that makes me better. But what I told you is that the reason why I know that this is the truth is because I already went through it. You know, there are some people that it, especially the way society is here in the West, where, you know, you go to school, you get the best grades, then you get the job, then you get the family, then you, all that stuff, you know, it's kind of like a little
cycle.
Yeah, it's like a little cycle. So I was not like the cycle. So I had to learn it when everyone else was not learning it during my age group, you know? And so because of that, I was able to see. And so when people ask me, you know, like, you know, what has your life been? I can say my life has been a series of experiences and experiments. And it's been honestly me before always praying for something that I didn't have. And now, and I'm when I say now, I'm talking about a week ago, because I've heard this from many different teachers. But what I'm saying is that no longer do I pray like that. You know, I wanted the best mariachi for my dad yesterday. It was his birthday. And my dad is very important to me because my dad is a true symbol of true unconditional love. And I was like, well, how the hell am I going to find a mariachi right now? You know, like it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I need it by 3 p.m. But that was my initial mindset. But instead of doing that, I said, you know what? I'm going to go on Google and I will find someone. I only contacted one website. And then what I did is I went to meditate and I started praying and seeing myself. But I did not ask for a mariachi in my prayer. I saw myself with the mariachi holding my dad. I felt the feeling. I'm not kidding you. Literally within 20 minutes, I had 3 calls lined up that people wanted to come out there and we were able to make it happen. Yes, this is minimal. And yes, all of us want to create big things in our lives. But that's the way you do it.
There's also another, like, little small skill. But during the Super Bowl, and when that guy got the interception, I forgot his name, but the very last play that won the game, and he just, in the interview, he said, well, so what was your mindset for that play? And he said, well, I visioned it. I visioned that interception. I visioned that winning the game play, and that's what he did. And so that, just those visions and just seeing it happen and having that in your mind is just a complete another.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I wanted to say that and I keep forgetting it because of the Super Bowl. But what you just said, he said, I just saw it and there was a higher force that took me there. He said that. Katy Perry, which was interviewed after, and this is all, of course, celebrity, but she said, all I wanted to do was do, you know, like a memorable experience for everyone and to see how amazing each and everyone. It was a spiritual experience for me, she said.
She said that?
She said that. And we're talking about people that are highly actualized, self-actualized. We're talking about people that are following their dreams, that they're not the, robotic people that have to clock in and clock out because that's what they're doing. And again, we already said there's people that are actually happy doing that, but there's a lot of people that are not, you know, and they're, damn it, they're stuck in jobs that they hate. And, you know, the thing that with people that are highly successful and highly self-actualized is that for them, I think everything is a spiritual experience. The number one thing that was missed from the Grammys was Happy, when that song came on. And Pharrell, he was saying, and he got cut off. And then when he came back to sing it, what did he say? He said, I do this only for you, God, because you have to stay humble. And that's the second thing I want to talk about creation. You know, all of my life, especially in the last 10 years when I've really been exploring, like, my life, I've always heard the word co-creator, that it's me creating with God, you know, that it's my desires asking for them, which is stupid because if you ask for them, they're not there and you're never going to get them. And then God working with me to make them happen. That's what I've seen in my life, you know. Then there's people that don't even understand creation and they wake up every morning and are just, like, walking around and they're like, well, let's see what happens. Which is probably pretty exciting to some people. But to me, no, not so much, because I like control and all that. I want to understand the metaphysics of what it really means to create. Why am I able to create some things and other things am I not, right? And I had the most humbling experience with this podcast that Greg Brin put on, because he was with the Tibetan monks in Tibet. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You know how I like to butcher things. And, you know, they were praying for rain. They had not had rain forever. And so what they did is they went there and then, you know, Greg just watched them. And Greg is a scientist, guys. I want you guys to understand this. He's a scientist. He's an aero engineer. I mean, this guy's been, he's very studied. But he also is also exploring all of these different teachings, which I found out that there's even there was a Princeton professor who his complete focus has been on just the different theologies of religion. I thought that was the coolest job in the world, because I would love to do something like that. But see how important it is in our world, why we even need Princeton professors to actually study all this, because it's really basing your reality. Anyhow, so the monk was saying, you know, we need to pray for rain. And then Greg was watching them, and they were all, like, saying stuff and, you know, like, all this stuff. And then he's like, well, I want to know what I saw, what happens inside of you, because I saw what happens outside of you to create this rain, because it was raining, by the way, as soon as they did it, which was very quick. And the monk told Greg, you know, what happens outside of me has nothing to do with what happens inside of me. I was not asking for it to rain. I was actually envisioning myself running through the fields of corn and feeling the rain in my face. I felt how the mud felt as the rain ran through the river, you know, where we live, you know. I actually smelled the way the rain smelled, and that's how he created. And and then he said thank you after the prayer, and then Greg told him, well, are you thanking God for the rain already? Is that why you did that? And the monk said, never. I don't thank God for me creating. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to envision and experience the reality that which I want to happen. So he was so humble, or actually it was a she. She was so humble to say, it wasn't even me that co-created that. All I am as a human being is the ability to envision and feel, because that's what this whole podcast is about. Feel how it feels, and then that created the rest. And then I said, thank you for that opportunity. Like, how beautiful is that?
So like, we need just, like, everyone in the West Coast and California to get rid of this drought, just to envision them running through water, then we'd be fixing this drought.
And they need to understand the theology behind it, and they need to understand these lost teachings. You know, do people ever wonder that there's no, on the Bible, there's no teachings of Jesus Christ between the age of 10 to, like, 30. I mean, they don't ever wonder that. It's not like those were the lost years, because there's books that Deepak wrote about the lost years, and I understood even better from Greg. There's no lost. There are scrolls there that talk about that. And what he struggled with, which is what Greg Braden said, which is what I thought was awesome, was the fact that he came into this world, and very early on, he understood the truth of who he was and all these powers that he had. All of us have that. The only difference between us and Jesus Christ is that he chose to explore them. I only bring up Jesus Christ because, again, this is what the podcast is about. But all of our religions teach us, Hinduism, Vedic traditions, Buddhist traditions, all of that.
Something in common with, I've heard this, I forgot who, but with the majority of main religions is all these guys, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, they went away for a couple of times. I mean, for a while, and then they come back. So I forgot what the meaning was that, of that. It was just,
maybe it's like a fashion trend. I don't know.
Fashion trend?
No, I think it's when generations are ready to hear it. It's when they're ready to hear it because we've never seen Eastern tradition religions being taught here as much as they are now. You know? So it was never the fact that where we're talking about he was never gone. They're teaching, all of us come with, that's what he was trying to tell us. You will do unto others bigger things that I have ever done. But he understood and he knew who he was. So all of these teachings that have not been revealed to mankind yet teach the same thing. They say that you are powerful beyond your own imagination. God made you in the likelihood of his or her eyes. And it's time that we start letting go of the vision of God as this old man sitting on some kind of throne, like you said, an egotistical throne. That's not the way it is. And creation, I was very humbled when he said that, you know, when he said that all I said was choices. So then the documentary gets in really deep into the most amazing thing.
The podcast.
And it talks about how the reality and the physical reality that we live is simply an indication of your engagement or your engagement with time. So remember we did a podcast on time, you and I?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this thing got so deep into this. Okay, so he was saying that even in Vedic tradition, all the ancient traditions, everyone, their relationship with time was very different as to what we have here now. You know, with time right now, none of us have enough time. None of us, you know, are able to fulfill our dreams because we're running after all these other things. And, you know, it's just a stressful. I even know that. And my life has, from the last 5-10 years, my life is less stressful right now, but I still struggle with time. Like, I don't have enough time. And so the most important thing that he taught about this is then he brought in Einstein. No one did bring in Einstein, but he brought in the ancient traditions that talked about how time is not just past and future, or even present. There is also this other sector that it's a parallel universe. And what he's trying to describe, which spiritual traditions describe, is that there, what we want in this world, all of our desires already exist out there as experiences, and that our only role as humanity is to make a choice as to which one we want to experience. So, for example, if you have a deadly disease, that is not your circumstance. That's why so many people have been saved. Because there are other experiences out there that show that you're healed, that show that you're not having that, or that you are, then you're going to die. But it's what we choose. But if we were taught this since we were little, we would be making better choices. But we don't realize that we have that choice. And that's why faith, when someone tells you to have faith, it's so hard to do it. Because you think that, no, why? It's so easier. I don't know where humanity is going, but it's so easier for us to expect the negative instead of the positive. Why does it have to be that way? You know, people almost make fun of me, but they're like, you're so optimistic all the time. My mom was always like, you're so optimistic. I'm like, well, I mean, your life is your beliefs, so which one do I want to believe? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the only way you can do that is by taking responsibility that you create your freaking life based on what's going on in here. So stop blaming and stop talking shit to other people. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yeah. Fight Brian Cox, this genius guy. He was recently on the Joe Rogan podcast. But I'm probably going to butcher it, like I always do, but he said, like if a universe, we live in an infinite universe, mm-hmm. right? So that means there's infinite possibilities and just that anything. Even this genius, this physicist,
yeah.
he there's infinity possibilities for everything. So.
Trillions of universes. Yeah, it's like The Matrix. I really want to watch that movie again. But, you know, the thing is, with the way the reason I connect to Deepak Chopra so much is because, to me, he still has the touch of the spiritualism. Greg Braden is the same way. You know, there's still, he's been through all of the caves, you know, in Kumon, where they found all, by the Dead Sea, where they found all these scrolls. You know, Deepak Chopra has been in the with the monks in Tibet, called Tibet, right? I was going to say Quebec. That's Canada. That's Canada, right? You know? And guess what? Science is not working anymore, guys. So if we think about all of this, it's working in a way, but it's not working where it understands everything. And what do they have, a theory? Or we don't understand it, it doesn't exist. That's a bunch of bullshit. You know, David, if you don't understand it, you better put more work into it. And that's what Greg Braden said. We are just barely scratching the surface of these new things, you know? You first have to, I think the success formula is first you have to understand who you are. And, you know, you have to understand that you came into this world and nobody taught you how to use your mind. Nobody taught you that feelings create reality. Nobody taught you that you are not a factor of your environment. Nobody taught you how amazing you were as a little kid. You know, he even goes into talking about how our consciousness is actually creating the climate changes and all of that. And I told you this, I really truly believe, you know, let's look at that. Where do most of the disasters happen in this world? When we have a natural disaster such as a tsunami, an earthquake, whatever you want to call it, where do they happen?
Third world countries.
Okay, third world countries. To me, that's where the freaking cycles need to be broken. People like us need to walk into those third world countries, tell all of these people that think that they're worth nothing because they're poor, they have no food. How many kids die every second of freaking starvation? How stupid is that, you know? And I keep saying it, and I keep saying, you know, take action, but you just watch. Don't believe me, just watch that damn song. Don't believe me, just watch. You know, don't believe me, just watch it. I get really angry about this because I shouldn't be angry because that's the ego, of course. But I think about this, okay? If we just walked in there and told them, all of you, instead of giving them food, all of you are amazing. Do you realize that you came into this world because you are amazing? What if that shifted? You know, that Girls Rising documentary? What if that only those words were the ones shifted in them? Maybe it takes more. Maybe we have programs more that solve this way. But what if we told them, you're not like just like some random person that got dropped off into this earth. You literally are an amazing human being that's here for a huge reason. Go do something you love with your life. It doesn't have to be like, go solve world peace. It could be like, I just want to own my own toy shop. I want to own my own. Or I want to make clothes for a living. Whatever. I don't care. You want to sell freaking oranges at the farmer's market. Whatever it is. But why can't you have it? Why are we so put into boxes and set and told in our head, this is what you need to do in order to survive instead of thriving? That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. And I'm still struggling with that myself, to find myself and to say, hey, let me be the one that believes in myself so that I can help others, you know, so I can help others release and free themselves from the stupidity, from understanding the truth of prayer. See yourself, ask for it. The truth of creation. Humble yourself to the point that you understand that you're not in this by yourself. There is a higher source. Always there lovingly to help you, because otherwise you wouldn't be here. You're a freaking miracle. I say this in every podcast, And that's why it's so perfect. And that you live in parallel universes where lots of experiences exist, lots of them. Which one do you choose? Stop letting other people choose your life for you. I'm so glad my cough is gone because I'm able to really talk a lot. But I really, this podcast, I listened to it 3 times. And, you know, I've heard them before. But the thing is that something inside of me finally turned on and said, okay, mean. And I think when you're willing, then things just shift. So what do you know about the Dead Sea Scrolls? Because I see your book here. This book is pretty cool, actually. It's The Myths and Mysteries of the World. There's some pretty phenomenal stuff in there. And I think that, again, we're so closed off on the miracles that happen around us every single day and the mystery that surrounds us, that through the conditioning of living a high-paced life in the Western world, Let's take some time to really enjoy some of these things. What does that say?
I'll read some parts. Well, they were found in West Jordan, the Qumran, known as Kirbit Qumran. Probably not saying it right. And
it's Qumran.
Qumran.
Yeah.
Qumran. All right. All right. It says,
So what does it say about them? In the West Jordan, in 1947, that's when they were revealed. Actually, they were found in 1946, but they were revealed to the world in 1947. Greg Braden wants to talk about. And this is what he studies, the Dead Sea Scrolls. This is what all the information that was found. And it was written in the languages of Christianity, you know, what Jesus Christ wrote, as well as, you know, Greek. There's a lot of different things that it was written in. I mean, what I'm telling you is that we have not, and I wish the media, instead of focusing on the guy who killed the other guy down the street on Fifth, or pity of, you know, the celebrities and all of that stuff, I wish they would say, hey, by the way, guys, the way you're living your life, we forgot to tell you all this other stuff that we found. And it's, do you understand how important that is? Do you understand each and every one of you as a parent and as a mother, a father, what your children are believing? Do you understand that? If we just took accountability and said, let me tell my child how important and amazing he is. And yes, we have our moments. There's times when I want to kick your, like today, when you were driving us home, I let him drive us home. Oh my God, from sushi. And I, you know, first of all, I was like, this is how I'm going to die, God. Like, this is not good. You know, I can't believe this. And then second of all, I was like, oh my God, I have to have patience with them and just understand that he was there one day. I was there one day. I mean, your dad taught me how to drive in the duster, and I almost like took out like 15. But then we were living in California, so I almost took out 15, what do you call those, seagulls? It was horrible.
Yeah.
So I just try to have patience with you. But you know what I mean? That's what I mean. Have patience with yourself and, you know, ask bigger questions. What the hell is really the reality of what I am? Because before you know it, you're like 80. And you're like, what did I do with my life? Do you know?
You don't have to ask bigger questions. I mean, it's just like, it's pretty crazy.
You don't have to ask the questions. That's fine. But I choose to ask the questions because I don't want to deal with anything else, you know? It's just not important. And I know our talks are usually like that. They're very deep. And sometimes, you know, even Damon's like, can you guys get off that, you know? Because we just talk about very deep things. But it's important because now if all of you guys can understand how to pray, how creation actually works, be humble about it. Be very humble about it because there's a mystery of God, you know. I look at my grandma's story and, you know, her husband being murdered when she has like 8 kids that she has to raise in her early 30s, one an infant. You know, and then after that, losing one son from a heart problem by herself, and she drove back with his body in the freaking car because they didn't have money to, I mean, lay him down. And then, you know, bearing 2 other sons and then 2 grandsons and a daughter and all of that. And I look at her strength and I look at how much she still believes, and I think, man, if she can still believe and transcend all of this, why couldn't all of us? I'm not telling you that life is going to be, you know, always a complete joy because we are human, you know? I'm a lot stronger than I was, like, about stuff about death and, you know, stuff about losing someone. A lot stronger than who I used to be because I think before it even held me back. I didn't know. You know, now I believe in reincarnation and all that stuff. But at the same time, I'm okay with dying, but I don't want someone I love to die. Like, I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, same.
And, of course, it still paralyzes us. And, you know, we just got to be upfront and honest with those thoughts and say, perhaps this is not the truth. Because if it doesn't make me feel good, it's probably not the truth, you know? So this whole podcast really just taught me what they were talking about, just reminded me that I still don't know it all. And that through creation and through really understanding how it works and to asking and envisioning myself in my dreams, And then the rest just kind of falls into place, the action you need to take and how to pray and to how to figure out who the hell we are, and that understanding that, you know, our reality is just the choices that we make. Which path do we want to take, yeah? Exciting things are happening right now. They really are. We're launching a lot of cool stuff, you know, and the reason it's cool, and I'm very humble, I used to always pray when I used to read Neil Donald Walsh, because he was the homeless man that God, you know, pretty much downloaded all these books to him. That's what he says. And that's how I feel. Like, I always ask for that. I always said, God, please just tell me what to say. And, you know, what am I here to do? I would pray so much. What am I here to do? And instead, I started saying, this is what I'm here to do, which changed everything. And now I just feel like just being led.
Once again, you just went from asking to visioning.
And that's what life is. And it's going to change.
Transition.
In 20 years, I may not want the same things that I want now. And that's okay. But at the same time, you know, don't settle. Don't settle and just go do what you got to do. Whatever your heart makes happy. Like, there's no excuse not to do it. Because you're going to let go of this body. And then you're going to go repeat it again. Or you're going to go try to figure it out. Make a decision today and don't be a victim. You know, just take responsibility for your life. Because that, when you start doing that and you start saying, it's not a problem on the outside, I got to work in here. Then your life really, I am an honest to God, like, what do you call it, testimonial of that. I am, because my life has completely changed because of that. And because I'm not... Yeah, and because we're not attached. Don't get attached to anything. Let it be. Be yourself, for sure, and follow your dreams. Because there are some pretty cool dreams out there. Every day I get introduced to people that have made their dreams come true, and it's like insanity. Like, you know, like just things that came to them.
True that.
So, yeah, it's been a very momentous week. I really, like I said, I think I've been studying this for all my life, and it finally clicked in my head. But I'm humbled and I'm thankful, very thankful. I'm very thankful that I made it home because you didn't kill us on the car ride.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love you so much. There's so much love for us. And Damien and I are going to be able to launch our show next week, which is going to be Know Thyself with Damien Berrigan as a commentary. He planned it all himself. And it's going to be really exciting to be able to share these moments with you guys. Like, honest to God, it's the only thing I want to do. So, I love you.
Love you too, Mom. Thank you.
I left you speechless. I mean, you got nothing to say? Like, what's going on? Your hair has been looking really good, Ailey.
Took the words from you, Mom. Took the words from me.
I'm sorry. I just get really passionate, you know. You got to throw in your two cents here once in a while. I thought you were going to disagree with me more, actually, because we were disagreeing prior. But there's a lot of stuff I'm telling you that just teaches you. Just don't get attached, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things you get, just no attachments. I mean, that's six labeling and just all the talks a lot about the Bhagavad Gita too. That's just lose all attachments. Yeah.
Don't think about the words. Don't think about what it means. Do what's in your heart always. But thank you guys, and we will talk to you all next week. It's going to be another exciting week at Down the Rabbit Hole. Down the Rabbit Hole. And with hopefully with our new jingle in at the front, because Alexander's going to sing a song to everyone.
I'll try to make an intro, but I'm not going to sing. But, yeah, right on.
Right on, dudes. Love you all. Peace. Much peace and love. And may you all conquer all that you desire. God bless. And namaste.
God bless, Mother. Peace out.